fluids and electrolytes. What are fluids and electrolytes, and how do we know? When we talk about electrolytes, we're talking about things like your sodium and potassium ratios, your chlorides, your bicarbonate. Oh, how are those effective? What do they mean? And what we're going to learn here is that a simple thing like your electrolyte balance can give you clues about your adrenals. They don't teach that. They didn't teach me that in school. I didn't learn that as part of a standard, you know, medical lab testing or lab analysis course. No, I learned that through functional analysis, and it's very consistently borne out. Again, this is something I say at the beginning of all my presentations, and I encourage you to do the same as you're working with people and presenting, whether it's one-on-one or in a formal presentation. Some way of saying, I'm not diagnosing you. This isn't medical advice. This is education. I'm educating you about how your body works so that you can make really amazing decisions about how to take care of it. But if you are on any medication, if you are under the care of a medical practitioner, make sure that any changes you make to your diet and lifestyle are in conjunction with that practitioner. Now, we all know that we have patients that do not have a medical practitioner and don't want to have a medical practitioner because they don't want interventions in the medical and surgical realm. That's fine, and that's their decision. But you still have to tell them that you're not diagnosing them and that they need to work with their medical practitioner. It's just, you know, where it goes. You may be able to help them solve all their problems without it, but if they are on medication or under the care, just to cover yourself, you should be telling people. So let's look at the four fluids and electrolytes. And the fluids, I say fluids because electrolytes control your fluid balance. You know, excess sodium, you retain more fluid. Excess potassium, you tend to, you know, it can be diuretic. So sodium, it's one of the major salts in your body fluid. And it's important in your water balance and the electrical activity of nerves and muscles. What does that mean? Well, sodium controls the channels that allow things into and out of your cells, into and out of. So it's really important for conducting electrical currents between cells and also for the nutrients, allowing nutrients and fluid in and out of the cells. Your chloride is similar to sodium, and it helps to maintain the body's electrolyte balance, but they usually come together and they work together, so sodium chloride. Potassium helps to control the nerves and the muscles, and it's usually the opposite of, so the sodium-potassium pump, it does the opposite of what sodium does in terms of opening up the channels. And then you've got what's called carbon dioxide on the blood panels, but it's really bicarbonate. And it's usually ordered as part of an electrolyte panel, which, you know, whenever we're looking at electrolyte panels, we're looking to evaluate and monitor electrolytes, fluid balance in the body. So let's take a look at what does all this mean. So you've heard the terms alkaline and acid balance, alkalinity, acidosis. And what we know is that your body tissues function better in a slightly alkaline condition. So acidosis, alkalosis, they're two different opposite extremes. If you have too much of the acidifying lifestyle, drugs, foods, etc., what you're going to get is a buildup of acidity in your tissues. Cancer grows in acidic environments. Cancer thrives on low oxygen, acidic environments. So we really want to keep our tissues well alkalinized. Our blood manages at a 7.35 to 7.45 approximately pH, with 7 being neutral. Your stomach is very acid at 2. Your small intestine is more acidic at 8. Okay? So that's where we want to keep it. Now, how do you know if your body's in a relative acid balance or alkaline balance? One way is to use a little bit of strip of pH paper. You stick it under your tongue and it tells you. Another way is to look at your blood. And it's the balance between these electrolytes that tells us whether we're more on the acidic side or the alkaline side. When you're on the acidic side, your chloride's usually high, your potassium is high, and your carbon dioxide's high. So everything's a little bit on the high side. When you're more on the alkalosis side, meaning you're too alkaline, your chloride is low, your potassium low, and your carbon dioxide is low. So those are the things you want to look at. This is pretty straightforward. Now comes the fun part, because most people don't think about adrenals when it comes to their electrolytes. Yeah, sodium, potassium, you know, big deal. You look at it, oh, it's normal, it's not. Maybe I need to eat less salt, eat more salt. But actually, you can tell what's going on with the adrenals. Now, this is not 100% foolproof about the adrenals. It's basically giving you, like I said at the beginning, a snapshot in time, a particular point in time. It could be that a certain time of day that you're more hypoadrenal, like low functioning, and other times of day you're all stressed out and you've got high levels. So this is just taken at a point in time. The best way, actually, is to do a saliva test. That's the best assessment of your adrenals, and we'll be talking about that. I think it's module 5. Okay? So in adrenal fatigue, the general pattern that we would tend to see would be high potassium, low sodium, and low glucose. General, not 100%. These are just guesses. So the hyperadrenal is potassium low, sodium high. So they're flipped. Glucose high and triglycerides high. When you're in a chronic state of adrenal stress, your cortisol levels are coursing through your system. It's causing storage, usually from muscle, to be broken down and turned into glucose. And as a result of that going on, you end up with insulin resistance, which we'll talk about in another topic in a couple of, very shortly, actually. Okay? And then your triglycerides get high because your triglycerides are being created because there's too much glucose and we got to get it out of the system. So if we look at these examples with the sodium and the potassium, in this particular example, we have a sodium that's low and a potassium that's high. So a sodium that's low and a potassium that's high is saying that there's a low functioning of the adrenal. Okay? And then the opposite side, we have somebody who has actually variations in her numbers. She has normal sodium, and then she ends up with high sodium. Right? And this just goes to show some of this stuff is very variable. This is 2009, 2008, and 2006. Okay, these are three different years, very far apart. And then her potassium. So in this first case, her sodium's normal. Her potassium is a lot on the low side. Right. So she may be heading towards excessive adrenal. She may be stressed out. This one's perfectly normal. And back here, she was at 143, which is high for sodium. 3.9, which is low for potassium, so hyperadrenal. Okay? Hyperadrenal. I just sneak in a little bonuses here and there. So if you find that somebody has some adrenal fatigue, how would you manage them? And I'll just run through these quickly, but you'll have them in your slides. You know, obvious things like stress management, managing the stress, eating high green vitamin and mineral rich diets to support the adrenals, that are high in B vitamins. You want to have vitamin C-rich foods or supplements like goji and acai and pomegranate and kamu and colorful fruits and greens and veggies loaded with C. Activated forms of the Bs. I tend to use Premier Research, but there are others. Activated forms of the Bs. I like liquids because they get in really well. You don't have to worry about digestion. Antioxidants. In addition to C and E, you've got things that promote glutathione, like NAC. You've got things like resveratrol and acai. They have lots of good antioxidants. Adaptogenic herbs, and we'll go into that more when we do the whole module on adrenals. Finally, zinc. Zinc is super important. Zinc gets just zapped away by adrenal fatigue. Zinc also is a problem with stomach acid if your stomach acid's too low. We'll talk about that when we do the digestion section. Okay? Just a little extra. So here's an example. We have a high sodium. We have a low potassium. What is that? High sodium, low potassium, hyperactive adrenals. We also have a low carbon dioxide. So we've got metabolic acidosis. So this person and it makes sense because the adrenals are constantly pumping out these very highly oxidative chemicals to keep you going, and so your adrenals are high, and you're also having oxidative stress and acidosis. So what kind of follow-up would you do? Well, you'd talk to this person about their stress. If you do hands-on body work or you do acupuncture, you might be doing needling or massaging or adjustments to calm down the sympathetic nervous system and enhance the parasympathetic nervous system. And you can do an adrenal stress test, which we'll talk about in Module 5. Nice alkaline-rich diet, high in fresh, whole, fresh fruits and veggies.